Greetings, greetings once again, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Mafia Wife Life here. Yes, you already know it is me, your girl, Mafia Wife, here in the Mafia Wife Life Studios. If my voice sounds a little crack-a-lacky, it is because I had surgery on Tuesday, 4 days ago, for a torn rotator cuff. And it was finally time for me to go ahead and have the repair made, because I was starting to develop weakness and I was dropping things. And there was no predicting when I would drop whatever it was I would end up dropping. And I could live with the pain wasn't too impactful. It didn't, change the quality of my life. It was not constant. It was somewhat intermittent, and it was somewhat related to movement, certain movements that I would do. And then it would, it was waking me up on occasion at night. Those things were manageable and tolerable, but it was the dropping things that I started to lose faith in the ability to rely on that shoulder. And so I went ahead and agreed to have it repaired, and we had a certain window of time. I have to be in a sling for a few weeks. I'm a left-handed person. The tear is on the right. So it's, I can feel like I have more function as a left-handed person. But I really have to keep my shoulder, close to the vest, as they say. You think about your own arm and you extend your arm and then you rotate your arm from the shoulder and you make a full circle. That's quite a lot of movement. It's not like the knee where it, goes forward and back. It's not like the elbow. The shoulder, goes in a circle. So, it is interesting how comprehensive the movement really is. The Godfather has been truly ace in, in his caregiving. It's crazy because, when I had a double mastectomy, I felt like I had, it was an easier situation being able to move, getting in and out of the shower, going to the bathroom, getting up, in or out of bed, even lifting my blankets up, But I realized that was what it was because, by nature, breasts on the chest, they don't move. They just sort of live there on the chest. Shoulders move. At this point, the only time that I feel comfortable is when I have to keep my arm in the sling, but when I have my shoulder, in the position that it's meant to be in right now, in the sling, if I lift it even like an inch off of my chest, it's crazy, man. It's surprisingly challenging and surprisingly painful. And I did not really anticipate that, because I thought, I've had C-sections, I've had mastectomies with reconstruction. This will be fine. And I'm not saying that it's intolerable, because it is tolerable, but is it something that I can endure alone? No, because I have no use of, of that arm at all, but things will progress. And again, I'm so grateful for the Godfather's assistance. I was joking with a couple of my daughters, and I think, you know, I was saying, it's crazy, you know, what he's making me for breakfast, or what he's making me for lunch, or what he's making me for supper is a better and coffee. It's a better version of what I make myself. You know, and he's just, I'm quite moved by it. Let's just say that, you know, I don't want him to have a second career as a caregiver, as a nurse, but it is heartwarming to me to recognize that the dude does pay attention. He knows the ratio of blueberries to oatmeal. He knows the ratio of lime and garlic to the avocado. He knows how I like my, you know, my toast toasted, and I'm digging it, man. I'm totally digging it. I am grateful. Am I glad that I had the procedure done? Yes, I am. It was an arthroscopic procedure. There's 6 points of entry. So, you know, I have stitches in 6 different areas, front, top, and back of my shoulder. Do I know that it will ultimately be better? Yes, I do. Am I glad that I had it done? Yes, I am, because I do not want to be lifting something and dropping it. I don't want to be picking something up and just having it, you know, fall out of my arm for no reason with no warning. So, yes, I am glad that I had it done. Is the recovery a little more challenging than I anticipated? Surprisingly, yes. Is it manageable? Sure. You know, it's manageable because I know it's going to be over. But if I sound like I'm sort of hoarse, it's because of that surgery. And when you have general anesthesia, you know, when you're having a surgical experience, that's what happens. They put that tube down your throat and, you know, you're sort of hoarse for, you know, a few days from that point on. But anyway, that's what's up with that. The thing about having the Godfather home, the thing that's been nice today, as I say, is Friday. So he was home Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, today, Friday, is that, you know, we're in the process of, you know, of making really concrete plans for this next build that we're working on, that we call Sugar Pines. Now, what is Sugar Pines? I don't think that I've said what Sugar Pines is in any of my podcasts. As grandparents, me, Mafia Wife, identifies as sugar. Why? I have white hair, but also I wanted to, you know, to have a guarantee that I was going to be called something sweet. I wanted to be called something sweet. As we know, sugar is sweet. That's right. The Godfather, he was going back and forth about certain names. The Godfather is, you know, pretty traditional when it comes to certain things. I don't know why, because he's a free thinker in other ways. But if the dude has a dog, he's got to name him Snoopy. If he has a cat, he's got to name it Midnight. If he has a bird, he's probably going to name it Polly, you know, stuff like that. So he had it in his mind, you know, if he's a grandfather, he might as well be called Gramps or Grandpa or whatever, you know. But I just felt like that was not really an accurate description of who he is, because he's a vibrant person. He's upbeat. He's, you know, he's fun-loving. And he's you know, he's a lot of things that make him up outside of being a, quote, grandfather, even though that is what he is. And even though I am a grandmother, I explained, you know, why I wanted to be called Sugar, and I love it, you know, and I love hearing my grandchildren, you know, call me Sugar. I love it. So we were going back and forth on names, and we landed on Pops, which I really believed suited him. One of my grandfathers was called Pop, and it suited him. Another grandfather was called Poppy. That suited him. Pops, it just, I don't know how we totally landed on Pops, but when we did, it was like, yeah, that's it. It's Pops. It's Pops. But the great thing is also that we really like to combine words, and we think about words, and we've always done that. So Sugar Pops is upbeat. It's a combination, and you know, it's fun for the grandkids to say, and it's fun for us to hear them say, we want to go to Sugar Pops. Oh, we're going to Sugar Pops. You know, when are we going to Sugar Pops? All those things. So we're happy about that. As the parents of four daughters, you know, and even if I didn't have four daughters, even if I had, you know, some sons in there, I have always been the type of mother that has really wanted to be there for my children, in very obvious, concrete ways. And I was always that way when they were little and growing up. You know, they always knew that no matter what, I was there. That's just it. They never had to question it. I was always there. So, you know, and I wouldn't have had it any other way, and neither would the Godfather have had it any other way. I mean, that's just how we're built. So as grandparents, you know, I'm not going to like be a different grandparent than I was as a parent. So there were times when my girls, you know, when they would have like a newborn, and they were very tired, and, you know, they were not feeling as confident in their abilities to, you know, to progress at a certain, you know, at a certain level or a high level that they imagined that I did. You know, I would say, come on over, just come over. And they would say, no, Mom, I can't just run to my mom's house every time. I can do it. I'm like, you're damn right you can do it, but that doesn't mean you need to do it. That's what I'm here for. You know, what the heck, you know, that's what I'm here for, you know, come over. But they had this idea that they needed to prove it to themselves or prove it to their spouses that, you know, they could do it, whatever it was they thought they had to do, because they said, well, you did it, Mom. So I should be able to do it. And I'm like, damn right I did it. But it's not like I had a choice. You know, I didn't have the type of parents that were like, oh, come over, you know, we'll take care of you. Or, you know, I didn't have those types of parents, and you know, they certainly weren't going to suddenly become those types of grandparents. You know, their whole trip was, you know, you're not going to babysit, are you? But I don't think about it that way. I think about it as, I want to spend time with my daughters. I always have. I'm not babysitting my children. I'm not babysitting my daughters. Why would I be babysitting my grandchildren? It's just me spending time with them, you know? So I never really understood why that was like a goal, like to, quote, not babysit my grandchildren. I don't see it that way. I see it as spending time with them, which is what I've always wanted to do and what I've always wanted to do with my children. So anyway, for some reason,
my daughters got it in their head that, you know, they have to be like super hardcore, super badass. They have to do things on their own because I did it, right? But I didn't do it out of a choice. I did it out of necessity. You know, my daughters don't have that. They have parents that are here for them, that want to be here for them, that want to be here for their children. They have in-laws who they want to be there for them. They want to be there for their children, you know? And me and the godfather are like, damn, you know, that's how it should have been. You know, this is normal, right? What they're experiencing. So because they would say, no, I just don't want to be running to my mom's house, you know, if I'm having a struggle or whatever. So I turned it in, I flipped it. And I was like, all right, fuck it then. You know, just say you're not running home to mommy's house, even though if you were, that would be fine. Let's just say you're going to a wellness retreat. Okay. Let's just forget it. Forget that I'm your mother. Forget that I'm your kid's grandmother. Just, you know, think of it as a spa, as a wellness retreat, as a location that you can go to recharge your batteries. Think of it as a resort. And that is how I came up with Sugar Pines. You know, Sugar Pines is only a figment of my imagination, as are so many other things. So I would say, just come to Sugar Pines. You're not going to mommy's house. Just come to Sugar Pines. They'd be like, okay. So when they would come to Sugar Pines, I'd say, okay, welcome to Sugar Pines. And I would send them up to like get a steam shower or whatever. And I would like hang out with the kids, make supper with the kids, you know, have them come down. And it was like, it was really kind of fun and funny how we would expand, you know, this as a concept, even though it was imaginary. So I would make up roles for the godfather, and I would say, you know, his name is Sven. He helps bring luggage in from the car, and he gets the rooms ready. You know, Ella, you know, she is our activities director. So anyway, it's become kind of a joke. And for my Christmas present, Ella designed a graphic for Sugar Pines, you know, which involves pink and green, which I like that combination. The pines obviously are green pine trees, and the sugar, because I love pink, you know, it's like pine trees and the moon over the pines is pink, shaped like a heart. And on the back, she printed the shirt with the word in bold black letters, director. So, and they are residents. So, you know, I joke and they'll say, oh, Philip doesn't think I need to come to Sugar Pines or whatever. So I joke when they're here, if one of their spouses calls, I will answer the phone and I will say, good afternoon. Thanks so much for calling Sugar Pines. How may I help you? And one of them will say, is Claire there? And I'll say, last name, please. Frazier. I don't know. I don't see anybody. I don't think we have anybody registered in that name, blah, blah, blah. So it's just become like a long-term funny joke. So that is why we are calling this new property Sugar Pines. And because the property is so dynamic in the ways that it is, the driveway, for example, is a quarter mile long. The front, you know, where the pond is to the east. So the sun rises over that pond. The sun sets in the back where there's a bluff overlooking, the Totopotamy Creek, and it's risen, it's high up. So the godfather has identified that as Sugar Mountain, and the ridge, the 9 acres to the left of the driveway, let's see, north, let's see, east, west, is south. So that's the south ridge. And down at the bottom where the stables are and the pole barn, that is, you know, the north. So what's been nice about having the Godfather here these days helping me with my recovery, and like I say, it's really not that difficult unless, you know, unless I'm actually moving my arm, moving my arm at the shoulder, which I'm not able to do just yet. But, you know, being able to talk with him in an open-ended way, you know, about how we see ourselves occupying this property. We know we want a house, and then separate from the house, we want a barn. And, you know, I think it's looking like the house is going to be, you know, it's going to be facing the east. The front will face east. We'll have the kitchen in the front, and, you know, we'll have that morning light in the kitchen in the mornings. And then perpendicular to the house will be the barn. And the barn, obviously we'll have an east, west, north, south orientation, but because of the way that the property slopes, we have been able to come up with a solution for how to site this barn, and then what will the experience be, at the base of the barn and then beyond. It's been so interesting discussing this and going back and forth on paper, you know, with the Godfather about his objectives, you know, and how they line up with my experience with space and with design. And he's really quite good at it, you know. He's very good at it because he's practical. That's really the most fundamental thing when you are in a position to create something, design something. It's good to be practical. And I, you know, I'm a pretty practical person too. I probably have more flights of fancy in some ways than he does, but there's a sweet spot there in between for both of us. And so, you know, we've just been back and forth at the kitchen table, you know, him drawing things that he feels is good in his mind for layout. And then I will turn the page. It's like a big tablet of graph paper, and I'll draw, and then we'll flip the page, and then he'll draw. And, you know, we get there. But this morning, early this morning, I wanted to be over there when the sun was rising. I said, let's go over there because I would like to, you know, to be there in real time to experience the things that we were talking about yesterday on paper. And so going over there and then inhabiting that space in the ways that we had drawn on paper yesterday, it's just, it leads to further discovery, more jumping off points. Oh, if we're here and say we're here and we see this, you know, this bottoms out, you know, this can be a grove, you know, this and that, this and that. So we were able to walk around, you know, the perimeter of sort of the bottom where the pole barn and the existing stables are that, you know, go along the Totopotomy Creek. And we recognized, you know, that we know that we, you know, for years I've made, taken my girls berry picking, fruit picking, you know, we've picked apples, peaches, blueberries, strawberries, blackberries, you know, just tons of stuff. I've made pickles for years, corn relish for years. And all of these things with canning was just a jumping off point from when I made strawberry jam one summer with my aunt, Big Mary, up in Pennsylvania. And I realized how easy it was. It wasn't hard. And I realized it was just possible. I can do it, you know? And so that's what I did. So because of that, you know, that's why I always, you know, took my girls picking in the summers, and the godfather would go, of course. I remember, I think 3 weeks before Claire was born in September of 1996, we picked 90 pounds of peaches, and I made however many jars of peach jam that added up to, and then we had her. Anyway, so because of these experiences we have, and because of the land and the way that it's distributed, you know, we don't have to have our gardens in one specific area. We can have our gardens in certain niche areas. You know, an apple orchard can be back by the pole barn. A peach orchard can be up on the, you know, the northeast corner of one of the pastures. You know, it's fascinating to me to be able to distribute these areas based on nothing more than what the land and the sun dictates. It's absolutely fascinating. So the Godfather is going to have trails cleared, and they're already kind of there. They're wide. I know that the original owners created these as trails wide enough for, you know, for horses. And they had an eight stable barn, which we're not going to have eight horses. We'll probably have four horses. We'll see. Maybe four horses and a couple of ponies. We'll see. But attached to the stables, we will have an apartment. So will somebody live on the property to take care of the stables, or would we have somebody, you know, just come in part-time? I mean, we live in Hanover County, and it's easy to find labor for such things. But regarding the horses, my daughter Claire and I are taking lessons together once a week at a stable, you know, like 10 minutes from where we live. And it's beautiful. It's convenient. And, you know, she's so happy. I can see her smile from hundreds of yards away. I know this woman's family. I know her son. He was, you know, I met him initially through my daughter Gracie, but then we came to be friends ourselves, and I did a lot of leather work for him when he was just starting out in Nashville. And now he is really popping off and doing, you know, tours, and, you know, still rocking my pieces. And I knew that his mother, you know, I knew that his mother was a trainer, and I knew that she had teams that competed, but I didn't know that she did personal lessons. So to have found out that she was willing to teach me and Claire, you know, as beginners, as individuals, and not, you know, competitive riders, was such a bonus. I mean, we were so fortunate. So we each have a lesson private. She takes a lesson for 45 minutes. Then I take my lesson for 45 minutes. What's so great about that is that when she's riding, I can see her and, you know, see her joy, see her smile. and I can watch, not watch, not babysit, but spend time with my grandsons, Reese and Woods, who also get to see their mommy on the horse. It is just like joy ripples. It makes me so happy. And so we'll walk around the farm. She's got, let's see, probably one, two, three, four. She's got five or six pastures, and the pastures all have horses in them. And then we can go in the barn or in the ring, or it's just, and they're naturally curious. Woods is two, Reese is like 10 months. I'd have to count how old Reese is, but they're just so happy and it's so much fun. And then when she's done with her lesson, then I take my lesson and she takes the boys home because it's going to be their lunchtime and then their nap time. And, you know, it's everything. It's really everything. So ultimately, I would like for her boys to have lessons, and I would like for, you know, I mean, I'm not saying my whole family needs to like totally get into horses. They don't need to get into horses, but because we are going to have horses, I do think that they need to know a baseline on how to, you know, to do the basics. So anyway, that is why we are calling it Sugar Pines. And it is a destination. It is, it's just completely different. And when we were there this morning, me and the Godfather, you know, we talked about, yeah, the beach was great. You know, we did a damn good job with what we did down at the beach. But what we know about how we live and who we are as individuals, as private people, we are really interested in the day-to-day living at home. You know, we have loved our neighbors here. It'll be 28 years in June. They really dig us, but we're not really social people. We just like being at home, and we like, you know, we like being with family. You know, that's really what we've always been about. And I just think it's great, you know, how the constellation of family, you know, evolves. And I find it really disturbing and really disgusting, frankly, to hear that my sister, Mary, went to visit, you know, I will say my mother, but it's very difficult to say she's my mother, because if I identify this person as my mother, then there's automatically expectations attached to that. You know, when one has a mother, one expects that person who is their mother to want to speak with them, to want to see them, to be interested in whether or not they're in the hospital, whether or not they've had surgery, whether or not they're, you know, in diagnostics for whatever, whether or not they've had new grandchildren, whether or not they have had their children graduate from college or high school or gotten internships or anything, you know. So it is very, very difficult for me to identify this person as my mother, even though she is my mother, but she is a person who wants nothing to do with me. She wants nothing to do with me, nothing to do with my husband, nothing to do with my children, nothing to do with my grandchildren. These are her grandchildren, her children, her in-laws, her great-grandchildren. And, you know, it's like I started calling my father Jerry. You know, it was easy for me to see him as a person named Jerry, it was easier for me to see him as Jerry than to identify him as dad, because, you know, he really wasn't a good dad, right? He just wasn't interested in, you know, the mechanics that are involved in active parenting, right? You know, I know for a fact that my mother is actively interested in certain parts of my life, because Mary tells me that she knows things about this property, and she tells me about, you know, other people that have asked her about our property, and I haven't told them, and she hasn't told them. So there's only one other way that they could know. And I would imagine, obviously, it's because they're listening to my podcast. But what this person did, Mary's mother, she actually said this to Mary, and she said it as though it was true, and she believed it. You know, nobody is talking to you, Mary, because of your friendship with Katie. She actually said that. You know, nobody is talking to you because you're friends with Katie, and what you tell Katie might end up on a podcast. Well, what don't you want to be on the podcast is what I would like to know. Do you not want me to say that you have nothing to do with us? That, you know, you're living with somebody whose behavior is truly disturbing to the point that he actually admitted. It's weird enough that he did this, but to admit it is weirder. And he said, you know, when you would go out to California with Mary to visit Paul and you know, whatever, he would walk in the house knowing that you were 3,000 miles away, and he would say, "Hi, Mom." That's not normal, okay? You have to know that that is not normal, okay? You have to know that. That is a person that is deeply, deeply undeveloped. You know, your other son, who you know damn well, accused my husband of being a criminal. You know damn well he did that, because you had it in writing on your texts. And then you even asked me, is it true? You're the one that calls him a godfather. You know damn well that it's not true. You know damn well why I call him the godfather, because we had four daughters and I wanted the wrong people to stay very far away. I wanted my daughters protected. I didn't want my daughters to find themselves in situations that some of your daughters found themselves in, okay? But you know that he said that after everything that my husband did for your son. You know what he said, and then you choose to deny it for whatever reason. You don't get to choose what the truth is, right? Because the truth is the truth, you know? You don't get to say that you care about us because you pray for us, because that's not true. If you cared for us, any of us, you would want to meet your own great-grandchildren. You don't get to pray for them and say you care for them, you know, and your daughter, whose daughter seems to know everything about us too, the names of my grandchildren, the location of our new property. You know, I'm not sure how
that adds up. I used to put things, you know, on social media until I realized these fuckers are looking at my social media. I don't want to share with anybody who, you know, I'm not friends with, you know, or who is not friends with me. And so walking around the property this morning with the Godfather, having the sky, the water, the trees, the creeks, the streams, the woods, you know, if we were interested in having people know what we're up to, we wouldn't be interested in developing a property like that. You know, and then you defend to this sister about one of your other daughters who showed up only when another sister's child was diagnosed with a treatable cancer, as though, you know, she's the motherfucking second coming. This bitch, your daughter, is the same one that didn't say anything to your other daughter, who happens to be me, when she had cancer twice. It's laughable. It's so laughable. It's actually disgusting. You know, and then you try to make it true somehow that you didn't screw over one of your children when it came to medical power of attorney. I don't care what you say. None of you told this brother about it. You kept it from him deliberately for self-serving reasons because you didn't want him to not come home. These actions happened and you did them, and your little army of haters did that. And then you decide to twist it as though it didn't happen. It happened. Okay. You don't get to say it didn't happen because it happened. You have blocked me. You have continued to block me. And, you know, when your other son came to visit and asked me, when was the last time I saw you? And I had to think about it, and I had to admit when it was. He just looked at the ground and shook his head. These are despicable behaviors of a parent, a grandparent, a great-grandparent, and your soldier. You know, I don't know what you think's going to happen to your heir apparent when you're gone. You know, I don't know what he thinks is going to happen. I do know that when we were his friend, we were his friend sincerely. I don't give a fuck whether he wants to be our friend or not. I don't want to be his friend. I did before, but I certainly don't now. I know they're grateful for his supposed care of you, and I'm grateful for your care in whatever form it comes, but I know, and you know, that I was there. And I know, and you know, that my husband was there and our children, but you try to twist it as though my children aren't introducing their children to you, as though you really believe that they should bring their children to you on a silver platter when they know you want nothing to do with me. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. You know, the children that you have raised have gone to Disney World knowing that they were going to declare bankruptcy after they jacked up their credit cards. Do you remember that?
I do.
And I said, that's not right. You can't do that. And You know what you said to me? You said, well, you went to Disney World. And I said, yeah, I did, but my husband paid for it. He didn't steal it. He didn't steal it. He paid for it. Okay. Your son stole it because he knew he was going to declare bankruptcy. Your other son, when he was given a check by a company that he did business with, that he was not, it was under false pretenses that he did business with, and he received a check, a sizable check, and they sent it to him in error. It was an oversight. And my husband, who your son accused of being a criminal, my husband said, you need to send that back. And your son said, I'm not sending it back. I'm keeping it. That's what your son did. My husband said, you need to send it back. Okay? So if you want me to continue, I certainly can. And I certainly will. But you don't get to fire these shots and then sit back. You know, the things that you have, quote, accepted in your other children and your in-laws, infidelity, pedophilia, lying, cheating, stealing, you've got to be fucking kidding me. You want to kick me to the curb? Go ahead. But you're not going to do it under false pretenses, okay? You're not going to tell my sister, who knows me better than anybody else in your family, you're not going to tell her that the only reason your children aren't speaking to her is because of her friendship with me. Fuck that shit. Because that's not true. That's a cheap shot. I don't care if she speaks to me or she doesn't. I'm happy that she's willing to be my friend. I know that there are others that would wish otherwise, and they have tried otherwise, but we have a legitimate friendship, and we always have. We're able to fight, and we're able to resolve, and we're able to hear each other out, but you don't get to say to her, as though it's true, the only reason nobody talks to you is because you're friends with Katie. You don't get to do that to me, homie. I'm not allowing it, you know? And I say to your son, Hitler, he better tread lightly. And your other sons, they better tread lightly. And your other daughters who are, I'm sorry, but they're, no, I'm not sorry. They're nasty individuals, you know? What are they doing with their lives? You know, how are certain ones actually earning money when they are sort of squatting in in-laws' houses summer after summer, or changing their names? Like, how many aliases do they require? This, that. I mean, I don't really get that. I don't understand it, you know? I just, you know, these are not my children. They're your children. And, you know, if you ever decide that you want to take an active interest in your grandchildren, which I know that you won't, or your great-grandchildren, which I know that you won't, you know, just, you know, let me know. They're just, you know, they don't operate like that. You know, when I see my own children, how they are as parents, how they are as spouses and how they are, you know, with their other grandparents, and how they are with me and the Godfather. It is so remarkable that, you know, that you guys just weren't interested. You know, you just weren't. And yet, so many of you seem to think it's important to have your name in lights for things that you haven't even done. I don't get it. Oh gosh. Anyway, I am going to sign out here because I don't feel like talking anymore. So I will say sayonara, TTYL.